This is the GCLI teaching on studying the Scriptures under the core value of grace and the Scriptures, session 6. During this teaching, I want to address some questions that ones have had about being a student of the Scriptures. Some questions include, what are some guidelines to being an effective student of God's Word? How much time should you spend studying the Word to be prepared as a pastor and an elder? What options for study exist for the leader who wants to be a student teacher of the Word? Is it important to actually get a degree from a Bible school or seminary? So some questions like this, and I hope this will be helpful to you as you are pursuing Jesus Christ and becoming an effective student of the Word. I think of the verse Ezra 7:10. Ezra set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. And certainly God wants all elders, all pastors to be men who really know the Scriptures. So what are some guidelines to being an effective student of God's Word? Well, first thing I would say is that we need to study to be both taught and touched. Taught by a book, touched in the heart by Christ himself. One of our favorite quotes in our movement is Acts 4:13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And Peter and John, they didn't have schooling, but they were men who walked with Jesus Christ. And that's what we look for primarily, is men who are really walking with God, whose hearts have been touched by Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a story early on when I was a young Christian. Some friends of mine who had recently come to Christ as well, they went on a trip and they happened to stay at the home of a seminary student. And it was a Saturday morning, and my friend, he got up and had a quiet time. He was having a devotional time with the Lord. And the seminary student that he was staying with was so struck by that. And this seminary student realized that even though he had been studying the Bible throughout the week, he was not one who had the practice of having a devotional life. And so we certainly want to be good students of the Word. I believe this seminary student was a student of the Word, but we also want to be ones who are touched in the heart by Christ himself. And I like this quote from A.W. Tozer. He says, the Bible was written in tears, and to tears it will yield its best results. God has nothing to say to the frivolous man. And so giving our hearts to Jesus Christ to be really students of the Word is really the most important thing to say. Also, we are to study the Word in prayer, trusting in God's grace to give you understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, which things we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Understanding, spiritual understanding, is not something that can be churned out just by study. We realize it's something that God has to show us, true spiritual understanding, by the Holy Spirit. Just like when we got saved, it was by faith through grace. And so too, spiritual understanding that we have must come to us by God. And so I really urge you, as you're studying the Word, before you open up that Bible, that you just commit yourself to Christ every time and you say, Lord, I need your understanding. Open up my eyes by your Holy Spirit. So study the Word in prayer, being a person who has faith and trust in God. The next point is study while being involved in active ministry. Be involved in active ministry. Acts 6:4 says of the apostles, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. Now, it's interesting, they didn't say we will give ourselves to prayer and the studying of the Word. I'm sure they did study the Scriptures. But they were involved in active ministry. They were giving out the Word. They were serving the Word. And it's in that context that I think God helps us understand what the Scriptures are really saying. John Mott, who was a great leader of college students in the first part of the 20th century, said this, no great work can be satisfactorily administered from an office chair. We must appear on the battlefield. And I think understanding comes to us as we are on the battlefield. I know for me, practically, I was a student at law school. That's where I came to Christ. And I know I studied a lot of truths and principles about law. But you know where I really, really learned law, I remember, was my second year of law school. I started being an intern at a law practice. Boy, I'll tell you, things really came alive to me then. All the rules of law, all of a sudden they made total sense to me as I was putting it into practice. And so being involved in active ministry is so important if you want to be an effective student of God's Word. The next point, study topics that will build unity rather than controversy. Paul tells Titus in verse 3:9, avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. It's interesting to me that Paul says similar things to Timothy in both 1 and 2 Timothy. There is a tendency for us just to find those topics where there's some controversy and to focus on those. There's been so many people who argued back and forth, and they just spend hours and hours just studying Calvinism versus Arminianism or other controversial issues that, quite honestly, I'm not sure we'll have the total understanding this side of heaven. And I just want to urge you to be a man, to be a person who is really devoted to building unity in the body, and study those topics that are going to help you really build people up and not just go towards those things that are controversial. Next point, study the word first in order to obey it. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James makes a very amazing point here. You can listen to the word and merely listen to it, and when you do so, you actually are deceived. New American Standard says that, I think, deluded. And it is possible by studying the word and not really applying it that we become deluded. Pride sets in. We certainly want to avoid that. Temptation can be for some pastors and elders is just to study the word in order to get some good sermon material. We want to study the word and apply it first. And I like what Watchman Nee said. He was asked one time, how long does it take to prepare for a message? And he said, oh, about 20 years. And his point was that as he practically lived out the scripture, that enabled him to become an effective teacher of the word and definitely an effective student of the word. Vance Havner said, if you cannot always get the right explanation for some scripture, be sure you don't miss the application of it. And to realize we are here to do the word, a good understanding of all those who do his commandments. Psalm 111, verse 10, a great verse. We have understanding as we apply it. And then the final point under this question is study the word with input from a community of leaders and believers. Here's what Paul says to the Colossians in chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. Such a person goes into great detail about what he has seen, and his unspiritual mind puffs him up with idle notions. He has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. And he gives a contrast, the person who is by himself. He just takes a stand on visions he has seen. He gets puffed up in his unspiritual mind. He's lost connection with the head. I think the idea is that person who's just off by himself and just trying to get this wisdom alone from God as contrasted with the person who's part of the body. And it's as we're part of the body, we learn. Now, certainly, we must individually come to God. We must study the scriptures on our own. No question about that. Very, very important. However, God intended for us to study the scriptures on our own, but in the context of the community. When I was appointed as an elder back in 1979, I really had to learn this lesson. I was one who enjoyed studying on my own. In fact, when I was in college, I remember I would, just study in my dorm room all by myself. I'd never be part of any study groups because I just took that responsibility on my own to learn. And in that regard, that's good. That's a very good quality that I think God had built into my life. But what was lacking in my mind is that I was studying on my own, and I thought, well, I can just learn it on my own. I don't need other people to teach me. And as a result, like this verse talks about here, it's a humility. It is unspiritual. Our mind does get puffed up. And it's in the context of community where we learn how to listen to each other, to honor one another, to love each other. The whole goal of our instruction is love. That's why the scripture is given, so that we'll grow in our love for God and our love for others. How can we possibly grow in love if we're not with people and even learning from God in community? So this is so, so very important. And that's why even for this GCLI, we encourage men to be part of a small group, learning these things together. We learn it in mentor groups, discussion groups, and that's really how you really learn the Word of God. A leader is more likely to embrace false doctrine if that leader is a loner. As stewards of God's church, it is imperative that we be accountable to other godly leaders in the body of Christ. And that's why we have these GCLI mentor groups and GCLI regionals. In fact, I would say to you, as you become appointed, if you are appointed as an elder someday, as a pastor, it is so critical not only that you're learning in the context of your church, but we have these regionals where we're part of a community of leaders, not just in our own local setting, but also in a regional and a national setting. And it's in that context, much like you see in Acts chapter 15, where you really come to understand God's mind on things. So studying in the context of community is so very, very important. Next question. How much time should you be studying the Word? How much time? Well, you know, this is a very tough question to answer, but I can give you some key questions to answer for yourself. One question I think you need to ask yourself is, can you defend your church or the Great Commission Church statement of faith? Titus 1:9 says, an elder must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. If you have mastered the material in this GCLI Foundations material, and you have mastered the material in the Great Commission Church Doctrine Test, it's our opinion that you would meet the Titus 1:9 qualifications. And what is in the statement of faith are the basics of who God is, the Scripture, sin, the nature of man, who Jesus is, the nature of his work, salvation by faith, the Holy Spirit, these basic doctrines. And what we want every man to be able to do is to be able to defend these truths, to be able to exhort in sound doctrine, to know the Scriptures well enough to be able to teach these, and also to refute those who contradict, to refute those who oppose it. What are some of the arguments against these doctrines? So in the doctrine test, you're asked questions like, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe in the deity of Christ, and they give this verse and that verse, and so you need to be able to refute that. So being able to defend the statement of faith is the basic level that I think every man needs to be at, and the most important. Second question is, what is the nature of your ministry? Again, this is a question for you to answer for yourself in determining how much time you should be studying the Word. You ought to be able to study the Word well enough to be able to defend the statement of faith. That's where we would start. Another question we'd ask, though, what is the nature of your ministry? For example, a Sunday morning communicator would need to know the Scriptures better than an executive pastor. For example, Tim Herring, who is Chestnut Ridge Church in West Virginia, he teaches just about every Sunday there. And he has been a man who's a strong student of the Word. He really is very well acquainted with the Scriptures. And I contrasted him with maybe some other elder pastors who might be in an executive pastor role or an administrative role. So that is a key question. If you are going to be in a much more public ministry of teaching the Word Sunday morning and on a more regular basis, then perhaps you'll need to know the Word much more and be more acquainted with the Scripture and be spending a lot more time studying the Scripture. The next question I would ask of you is, what is expected of you from your culture? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:19-20, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And then he says this, to the Jews I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those who are under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. And the analogy I would give today is that like Paul is saying, that to those who are religious, I became religious. To those who are under the law, I became like one under the law. And in America today, there's quite a few people that have been brought up with the Scriptures. And I think that your respectability will be dependent upon how well you know the Scriptures for so many. If you are ignorant of the Scriptures and you have people in your congregation that know the Scriptures better than you do, well, obviously there's going to be some difficulty with that. And so there is just more of an expectation on a leader to be familiar with the Bible in America than in other cultures. And so that is a motivation just to be a person who really knows the Scripture, knows where the books of the Bible are and so on. So what's expected of you from your culture is a big question to answer. The other question that you need to answer is, what is the best use of your time? In the Great Commission churches, usually only staff and singles have been able to devote large amounts of time to Bible study. In general, the priority is on the job training in character and ministry. Now, for me, when I was single, I remember spending a lot of time studying the Word. I'd get home from school and I would study it a lot. And I know that time is not as, most men don't have the time to do it. You know, if you're married, you have three kids, and maybe you're working a job or two jobs, you just don't have as much time. So that's, you have to ask yourself, really, how much time do I have to really study the Scriptures? And not to feel guilty about it if you're not spending 5 hours a day in the Word. It's just not practical, and it's more practical for those who are on staff and single. Next question is, what phase of your ministry life are you in now? It is common for leaders to be more heavily involved in studying the Scriptures early on in their ministry life as an orientation for a lifetime of ministry. Again, we're to study the Scriptures our entire lives, but I think particularly if you are a young person or you're just beginning to get in ministry, you may want to devote more time to studying the Scriptures and to see that you're really building a foundation for a lifetime of ministry. I think it was John Maxwell who said that for up until the age of 40, that a pastor should spend 80% of his time learning and 20% really producing. And then after 40, you got to just reverse that. Well, whether those percentages are exactly accurate, I can't say, but I think there is some general wisdom that John Maxwell is giving there, is that as you're younger, spend more time being oriented to the Scriptures so you really know what it's saying. It's a good thing to do, and I would encourage if you're on staff in a church and you're just beginning to be in ministry, say you're in a campus ministry or wherever, I think it'd be very good to spend a lot more time really becoming acquainted with the Scriptures. Okay, another big question that is asked of ones, once asked of me, at least, and others, other pastors, is what options for study exist for the leader who wants to be a student teacher of the Word? The Great Commission Leadership Institute is giving you a basic orientation of the doctrines and core values of our association. We really believe that it is generally adequate for preparing a person to be an elder. However, for ones who want to get in much deeper in knowing what the Scripture says and getting into this, the book of Romans and know the Gospels and so on, what options do exist out there? Bottom line, let me say this. It's really up to you. It's up to you to master the Word. It's up to you to take responsibility to know what the Scripture says. I often tell my children in school, I said, you know, it's really not up to your teacher for you to master the science or the Spanish or the math or whatever it is. Do you know the material? Your teacher is there just to be a support to you, but you're the one who's responsible. You go in there and get it yourself. And so if I can give any advice to you, it's that you become a person who masters the Scripture. You get into it and take responsibility. So here are the four options that exist as far as pathways that ones have taken to become student of the Scriptures. The first one is just self-studying, and everybody is in this category. But some merely go to this category, and quite honestly, for me, that's the category. This is the category that I was in. I've never taken any these other three options. I've been a man who's just gone right into the Scriptures, studied on my own. And the pros of this is very flexible. You know, if there's a particular topic or a particular book that you want to really master, you can just give yourself to it. That's the pro to that. The cons, though, are there's no structure and there's no accountability. There's no outside accreditation given if that's important to you. A second option is correspondence, and some have done this. They will take correspondence courses through a Bible school, and or they'll use something like the mock program. This is something Herschel Martindale has advocated. This man has put together some material for, actually I think it was for Campus Crusade for Christ, some basic material that just gave an overview on theology, an overview of the Bible and the New Testament and the Old Testament. So a number of Bible schools, seminaries, they provide correspondence classes. And again, the advantages of this is it's flexible. There are some restrictions. You need to go through this material. There's some restrictions, more restrictions than, less flexibility than the self-study. And the negatives, though, are, again, it's limited structure and limited accountability. And I know for some men, they've gotten involved in some of these programs and they just weren't able to keep up with it because it does take a level of discipline. The third option is an in-church institute. And this is something that could be done within a local church where they provide classes on, you know, New Testament or Old Testament through a church. And the advantages of this, of course, it's done within the church context. The negatives, of course, is that, quite honestly, not that many churches are able to pull this off. There may be a church in your area that offers some classes. And the other negative to this is typically there's no outside accreditation if that's important to you. And then the final approach is going to a Bible school or seminary class in your city. The advantages of this is it does provide structure. It provides accountability. You know, you're able to be a part of a class where you're interacting on the material. Also, you do get some accreditation. The negative of this, of course, is that it's expensive, costs money, costs time. You just may not have time to go through this. Oftentimes, too, you may be covering some material that is you really don't need to study. And you think, well, boy, this isn't all that practical. It's not really helping me. And so you need to spend some time looking at the course material. Is this really worth your time? Also, some have found that because some different values are being taught than what is taught in your church, it wasn't a very attractive option. But these are some options that are open. And to be honest, I know pastors in our movement that have used any of these. Each of these have been used by some pastor in our association. And so you have to ask yourself and answer this question for yourself, what is the best option for me? If I really want to become a student of the Word, again, I'm taking responsibility to master. You know, what is the book of 1 Corinthians about? What's Romans about? What are the Gospels all about? To master this book that we're here to teach. You are responsible, but what are some things that can help you really understand the Scripture better? And so here are some options that you may consider. Another big question that is asked is it important to actually get a degree from a Bible school or seminary rather than merely auditing classes or taking classes according to need? Well, let me give you some positives about to actually taking classes. One, it may open some doors for you, and this depends on your ministry. You know, if you want to be a chaplain, for example, or if you want to do missions work, there may be some church cultures or some situations where it would be very helpful to have that seminary degree. You know, it may be that you're going to be teaching the Word in a very educated culture, and it may be having that degree will help you. Most, I would say, for our pastors and Great Commission, that has not been very important, but it can be effectively, it may help you in some cultures. It also may be good for you to get it for the purpose of building discipline in your character. It might build in you faithfulness and diligence in completing a course of study. So there's some real advantages to that. There are some drawbacks to going to the Bible school or seminary. It may not be a good use of your time and resources in light of the work that needs to be done. We all have limited time. It says in Ephesians 5:16, make the most of your time. A certificate from a school may be adequate rather than a degree. Natural church development, which is a ministry that assesses the health of local churches, they found something very interesting out, and they said that the churches that were the unhealthiest and growing the least were the ones with the highest percentage of seminary graduates. And so having a seminary degree doesn't make you spiritual at all. I think you need to really assess, is this really important? And just to say today that there is a trend towards just raising up pastors within the local church and not using the seminary. And this is something, of course, we've been doing in our movement since the 1970s, but now we're seeing much more of a trend. We're looking for pastors who are really effective. What's most important, of course, is that men are have character. We put that as the most important quality. They need to know the scriptures, which is what this topic is, this teaching is on. Yes, but primarily we're looking for men of character. And so as we look at what's really needed to be an effective pastor, teacher, having a seminary degree apparently is not really an indication that you're going to be a healthy pastor or a healthy church. Giving a high profile also to a seminary degree has the potential of undercutting the value of every member as a minister and of the truth that God raises leaders up within the church. And it's interesting, a study of a church history, that the Baptists versus the Congregationalists. The Congregationalists had a very, very high educational requirement for their ministers. The Baptists did not. And it's interesting, in the century ago or so, how much the gospel was spreading through the Baptists versus the Congregationalists. And it's shown throughout church history is that the higher the requirements for being a pastor educationally, it really slows down the gospel. And again, we see these things, the education that you might get as a seminary, as a possible supplement. And I think I like what the Puritan said, there are some things God will bless as a supplement that he will curse as a substitute. And we do not make seminary as a requirement or as a substitute for being a man who is a student of the Word and a man who loves Christ, who is able to teach the Word strongly, is a man of character. It's a possible supplement that may help him in his ministry. But I think you have to evaluate this. Is it really worth your time? Is it worth the money? Is it worth setting the right example for the men in your church? Again, because we really believe that we're trying to raise up leaders within the local church. And so these are just some questions that you'll have to answer for yourself. A seminary degree might be a useful tool, but never make it a hurdle for leadership. And always make sure that we hold to the standard in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, that character is the qualification for leadership. Realize that the option chosen is not an end in itself. Whatever one of these options that you have here, the option for either self-study or correspondence or whatever it might be, the end result is being a student of the Word in order to be an effective teacher of the Word. And so you're going to have to figure out yourself what's the most effective way for you. So here's the concluding question. What is the recommended approach for pastors in Great Commission churches and future pastors to be effective student teachers of the Word of God? Well, here it is. There's four recommendations we would give. Number one, a life of self-study and obedience to the Word with an emphasis on character and personal devotion to the Lord. Far and away, this is the most important one. To be a man who really loves Jesus Christ, who's always in the Word, daily having his quiet times, reading the Scripture, taking advantage of times to just get in the Word on your own. I know that throughout my life, I'll just have some free time and I'll have my pocket New Testament with me and I just open up the Word and read it and study it. And that kind of a heart attitude where you're just getting in the Word, you love Jesus Christ, you love the Scriptures, and you're just studying the Word on your own. And you can be confident that if you really master the Word with having a life of self-study and devotion, you're going to have an impact because, again, it's not our degrees. It's being a man of the Word. It's being an Ezra who's really handles the Word well. The Word of God is powerful. And if you're sharing the Word with power, then you're going to be, and you're studying the Word on your own, you're sharing the Word with power, that you are adequate. You are adequate. So first and foremost, we recommend a life of self-study and obedience to the Word with an emphasis on character and personal devotion to the Lord. Second, we recommend studying and obeying the Scriptures while reaching out in the gospel within the ministry of the local church. Never get away from that. If you're going to be studying the Word in a Bible school type setting, what we would recommend is stay in the local church. Be involved in that local church teaching, and maybe if you want to take a class while you're studying the Word, that's great, but don't get away from that. You don't want to get into an ivory tower setting, but be a man who's effectively sharing the Scriptures, teaching the Word to people, leading people to Christ, and in that context, studying the Word. That's a great way to do it. Third, we generally recommend each leader developing a personalized study plan depending on that individual's culture, needs, and ministry. And again, when I answered that one question about, what options for study exist for the leader who wants to be a student teacher of the Word, you just have to decide for yourself what's going to be best for you. And again, it varies from person to person. And then finally, we generally recommend growing in the Word within a community of elders who can sharpen and test one another in their convictions. A warning to you, do not go out and just study the Scripture on your own and develop convictions on a topic without allowing others to sharpen you and to check you in these areas. I think about the Apostle Paul. He got a revelation from God, but isn't it interesting in Galatians 2 that he submitted his gospel there to the apostles in Jerusalem? And I know that if I'm studying the Word and I get some new insight that I see, I always like to bring it to others just to test to see, am I seeing things straight? And I need others just to perhaps balance me off, because there's oftentimes there's sin areas in my life where there's things that I may be out of balance on. I need others. Or maybe there's some other passage of Scriptures that I'm overlooking. And so as I come with a spirit of humility before God, before the Scriptures, and humility towards my fellow leaders, it's in that context that I think I'm really going to have a greater confidence that my understanding of the Scriptures is more right on. So these are the recommendations we give to you. May God grant you grace to be an Ezra, someone who devotes his life to being a student of the Word. And as you do so, and as you study it, and as you practice it, and as you teach it, then God will raise you up, I'm sure, to be a man who he will use to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ in our lifetime.